One year ago today, millions of Americans breathed a sigh of relief as the national Do Not Call list went into effect. The sound from telemarketing companies was a groan of frustration as the industry feared possible extinction. Telemarketers are still challenging the constitutionality of the list. In the meantime, more than 64 million Americans have signed up, and consumer groups are hailing the list as a genuine government success story. NPR's Larry Abramson reports.
The telemarketing industry had long argued that no government Do Not Call list was needed because consumers just had to ask each company to leave them alone. Eileen Harrington of the Federal Trade Commission helped develop the list. She says industry's approach never worked. When she tried to make that request, many callers simply hung up or they tried this line.
But the response was, well, I'm sorry, but only Mr. Harrington can make that request.
And so the list was born and quickly embraced by consumers who love it because it costs them nothing. They simply enter their number via the internet or by phone and poof, most marketing calls vanish. For the telemarketing industry, however, that poof is the sound of jobs disappearing. When the idea was first proposed, Tim Searcy of the American Teleservices Association claimed it would destroy 2 million jobs. Now he admits it's tough to measure the impact precisely.
I'm less focused on the number of jobs lost as the fact that we have a large number of jobs lost. At some point, it doesn't matter just how big it is. It's just too big.
Searcy says inventive companies have figured out ways to survive.
Some have chosen to move into inbound customer service and technical product support. Others have chosen to move to the exempt portions of the outbound calling business, like not-for-profit and charity calling, or calls for existing business relationships.
All of which are allowed, as are calls from political campaigns. At this stage in the election season, John Mason of Austin, Texas, says he had to threaten persistent callers from a candidate he'd already planned to support.
I kept getting calls, and I finally, told them, I said, look, guys, if you call me one more time, they want $75. I said, I'm going to donate $75 to your opponent, and I'm also going to vote for your opponent. And never got a call again.
Any caller is supposed to honor a request like that one, but some do not. According to Charlene Brand of Royal Appliance Manufacturing, that's why there's still interest in the telezapper. That's a gadget that fools telemarketing equipment into thinking your number is disconnected.
Now, I think many consumers are finding out that the FTC's Do Not Call list is not 100% foolproof. And we're actually seeing some renewed interest in the telezapper.
Consumer advocates are hoping that the success of the list will bolster support for other privacy protections. Susanna Montezemolo of Consumers Union says people have been lining up to support a ban on creation of a directory for cell phone numbers.
And they've specifically written to request privacy protections. We're hoping that Congress will build on the momentum of the Do Not Call list and add in protections for wireless directory assistance.
As successful as the list has been, this approach is not seen as an answer to other problems like spam. The Federal Trade Commission has opposed creation of a Do Not Spam list because regulators say it just won't work as well as the Do Not Call list has. A year ago, a constitutional challenge by telemarketers put the list on hold for a few days. The suit was overturned, allowing the list to go ahead. But the American Teleservices Association fights on and is now asking the Supreme Court for one final review. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.